When you see homily in the bulletin, that means the pressure's on me. That's supposed to be shorter than a sermon. And we do want to leave time for the mini gathering of clusters at the end of the service. When you think about the pulpit, and whether you call it homily or sermon, I think one of the uses of this time is to give testimony, to put into words two things. Here is what's on God's heart. And then, as God's servants, this is how what is on God's heart has come to pass in this congregation. This is what God desired, and this is how we have expressed that desire. So I'm giving a word of testimony today of exactly that. It's intended to be a word of encouragement and celebration. Shall we pray? We do thank you, Lord God, for the close connection there is between heaven and earth, so close that you came down and walked this earth with us. We have your word, and we have the very life of your Son that inspires us and informs us and instructs us, and we pray now that we might rejoice at the instances where we have found to walk in your ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1976 is when this congregation began. How many of you were here as a part of the Mennonite Church of Normal in 1976? Raise your hand high. Thank you. That's a good representation. I call you the pioneers of this congregation. You were there in the beginning in that adventure. And from the very beginning of this congregation, I wasn't here, but I've heard the stories. It seems that one aspect of God's heart, which we have tried to actively bring to life, is this: every person matters. Every person matters. Everyone is included. When the two churches merged, the goal was that no one would be left out. So I was drawn to these texts, and certainly more than them. Every person matters, and the first text showed how little children, those that don't really count, counted a lot to Jesus. And we heard that story in Scripture. If you do it to the least of these and count as mattering someone who is hungry or doesn't have a home or has any kind of a need, you do it to Jesus, it matters that much. You have those two representative texts, but we could have listed many, many more. Two sparrows. If God sees the little sparrow fall, then how much more will he not notice us? Stories like Jesus noticing and focusing on one short, sinful tax collector in a tree named Zacchaeus. Stop the show. My focus is there. He was in a crowd, and he stopped when one person, a chronically ill woman with a hemorrhage, touched him. The Jesus procession, that whole mob of people that was going along, was brought to a halt by 10 outcast lepers shouting at him from a distance, "Everybody matters." And I think, most unforgettably, there was a thief on a cross beside Jesus who sought mercy. And he was featured in the Jesus story. That cosmic drama of salvation. And one obscure thief mattered. It's rather remarkable if you think about it. I doubt whether any other religion or way of organizing thought of the meaning of the universe frames it this way. The coming of the Almighty King, ruler of heaven and earth, seated at the right hand of God, who cares about children and sparrows. As I said, I've heard many stories of how when this congregation, the Mennonite Church of Normal, was formed in 1976, now I'll speak to those of you that raised your hands, you, back then in 1976, you took great pains to live out that principle. Every voice needed to be heard. And so what Shelley talked about, the reality that we organize ourselves as congregations and we have constitutions in the way we do things. And back then, the organizational practices of this congregation reflected that goal. Every skill should be used. Not only every voice should be heard, but every skill should be used. And so, for example, in 1980, 4 years later, a role was found for everyone who wanted to be there when this church building was constructed. All you had to do was show up. You don't know how to do anything? Fine, we've got a job for you. And it went on and on. Toward that end, there were things planned for fun and fellowship, practices of mutual aid. In worship, you saw it embodied still today. People could share from the heart. Raise your hand. Now, I want to say this. Any invoking of the good old days is always flawed. The good old days, even though we might remember them that way, were not perfect. And I'm quite sure that there were times where every voice didn't seem to be heard or every skill wasn't put to use. Because we're human beings, this wasn't a perfect story. But I do think that God's heart was reflected. This principle was reflected, embodied in this congregation. And I would say this to you today. I've used the language sometimes of DNA as far as core principles. You start, you embed something, and it seems like you can't get rid of it. And this isn't one we wanted to get rid of. We wanted it to be preserved. And in my mind, this principle of every person matters is still alive and well. Another way to word this would be this: no one should fall between the cracks. That's a phrase I often hear as a goal. No one should fall between the cracks. And if not even sparrows fall between the cracks in God's sight, well, we're a lot bigger than sparrows for sure. Now, transition. Time passes. Circumstances offer new realities and new challenges. Community, noticing everyone, is still the value, but the geography of our lives is different. Physically speaking, literally speaking, for example, we live far more out of sight of each other. In other words, the literal cracks between our residences are much wider than they used to be. I often go in my mind in an approximate, it isn't a perfect circle, but a kind of circumference which encompasses us. And so start at, and I think I have my direction straight, start at Lake Bloomington and go to Roanoke and clear out to Peoria, Congerville, Stanford, Hayworth, Downs, Leroy, David Voteland, almost by Clinton Lake. That didn't used to exist to that extent. The goodwill is still here. But it is hard to keep track of each other because the cracks are wider, and it's not just geography, it's also lifestyles. The church is relatively empty this morning. Unfaithfulness? No. Not at all. I don't believe that for a moment. I know the stories of a number of people that aren't here and they're as faithful as ever, but for whatever reason, we travel more, we visit more. For better or for worse, our children are found on traveling teams. The comings and goings and the here and there mean that even for this one day a week and this one morning a week, it's harder to congregate, to be together. And so on top of which, we, the makeup of the congregation, is also in constant transition. New attenders come and others leave. Just pick up our last pictorial directory of several years ago and compare it to the new one. And it's no accident that we need a new directory every 3 years or so. So the question is, the challenge is, for a congregation like us that has a core value is, how can a commitment to everyone be lived out when it's not easy to even know the names of many? How do you do that? Everyone matters, but I have no idea who you are. That's the challenge. So with all this in mind, 1 year ago, we agreed on a strategy. Same principle, updated plan. It was simply this: to subdivide our attentiveness into smaller and more manageable geographical clusters. It's hard to have a wide-angle lens which keeps everyone in mind, so let's make this more practical, and thus we have area cluster groups. It was decided these would not be supersized small groups that would meet regularly, and these were not the old fellowship groups that were even smaller sized and that had a narrower focus, and it's not the same as the congregation. Each of those are ways to be together. An area cluster was its own unique reality. Manageable sized groups with good leadership, staying alert. That's really their job description of the leader. Stay alert. Notice, adapt, respond, at times initiate. The goal is no one falls between the cracks. I'm going to give you a list here. Every cluster has been different. This would be the testimony, and I want to give you just a partial list of how people have been valued and counted. There have been, in the last year, at the initiative of the area clusters, this is a partial list: baby showers, taking in meals for the ill, building a handicap ramp, a Valentine's Day party, cleaning up somebody's backyard when they really needed it. There's been some potlucks. Regular publicizing and attending of children and youth activities, deliberate and strategic contacts to help extend hospitality to new attenders. I would call this opening the door. Oh, that's how I get into the congregation and get to know people. There's been electronic communications of publicity, publicizing cluster life, achievements, concerns, things of interest, and so forth. Helping to focus prayer. This person needs prayer. Helping some people move in, helping others move out, backyard games, and guess what? My list isn't over. A drum circle evening. Another cluster has a weekly prayer group. There's a hayride, delivering appliances, checking on elderly people. One cluster planned the Menno Haven picnic worship. Another one did the Reader's Theater one morning during worship. Another one has it as one of their ministries to connect with, within their cluster, the out-of-town college students. And here is the strange beauty and the challenge of this. Not every group and not every person in every group did all or even most of these. I repeat that. Not every group did all or even most of these. Not every person in a group did all or even most of these. And while everyone is included in a group, participation is voluntary. And for whatever reason, some people have opted out of seeing this as an important thing to them. That's okay. That's okay. This isn't a guilting morning. I simply would tell you it means to me that the area clusters have proven to be customizable, and they can be fine-tuned to our variety, our geography, our circumstances, and that has led to manageable focus. And so nothing has changed on the one hand. It's the same as 1976. Every person matters. I thank you, pioneers, for capturing, naming, and insisting on living out that part of God's heart. No one should fall between the cracks, ever, in this congregation. Not young, oh, they're too little. Not old, oh, they're not important anymore. Not new, they don't know how we do things here. Not long-term, oh, we're tired of this. Not far away, let's just concentrate on near at hand. Not near at hand, well, we don't have to pay as much attention to the MRC. Every person matters. No one should fall between the cracks, not young or old or new or long-term or far away or close at hand. That is the dream. That is the vision. Would that it would be so. And it isn't yet. It hasn't been perfect. There's two groups that are idling on low because of not having lay leaders at the moment. That's been a real prayer concern. Internally, our communication and ways of assigning and including and so forth hasn't been perfect, and we're working on that. Not all people in the congregation have bought in. There's been some mourning of ways past and simply not seeing the need for this, and so some of us don't embrace as fully this form of organizing. That doesn't exclude people from being included in the Mennonite Church of Normal. And so while every person matters, some cracks have occurred, and yet 1 year later, I think we can bear testimony to this way of being together and say it is proving fruitful, it is reflecting a people of God's heart, and I would say to you, praise be to God. Amen.